Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Got a good show lined up for you. Let's kick it off the way we like to on this Friday Eve with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good because I finally have good news for you. I don't have to talk about the cold or the negatives or the bad winds or anything like that.
Yeah.
Nothing but good stuff. Yeah.
It's got to feel good. It's got to feel good on your end. What is it looking like today?
I feel like smiles are setting in across the state. As the sun is out this morning. Temperatures are above zero. I mean, we're going to climb to highs today in the low 20s. Finally, where we should be.
Very nice.
We're getting excited about low 20s, which are usually kind of chilly.
It really says a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But hey, we're going to hit 30 degrees by Saturday. We're going to be nearing 40 on Sunday. And then we're actually going to be into the low 40s on Monday, Tuesday, and into Wednesday. So we are going to see some of that snow melting. When we hit 40 degree temperatures, it takes about a half an inch of snow away at least a day. So heads up for those winter enthusiasts are wondering, will this all be gone? Well, we've got about, 10 inches of snow on the ground through a good chunk of central Wisconsin, so I think some of it will still be left, but a lot of it will be eliminated as we go into early next week.
Sure.
So good for some, sad for others.
But that is really interesting, what you say there. I've never heard that stat before. I've never heard like that before. That's really interesting. I thought I had a good stat. Brittany taught me right there. That's a good one. I was going to say 28 days till spring. That's a good stat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one, too.
I threw into a search engine. She did some homework on that. That was really cool, Brittany. Thank you for that.
We always
appreciate talking with you. You have a good morning.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot. We got a good one lined up now. The forecast really sets the tone there. Yeah, it does.
Thankfully, the Birkebeiner is this weekend.
Yes.
While there's still snow. If they would have waited another week, it would have been gone.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that they didn't wait.
Yeah.
Seth and I are going to get into some fun topics. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. We're going to talk about the money, how much money you would need to quit your job and travel the world.
Cool.
It is National Pet Day. More on that in a moment. We'll get into the top ways we show them love.
Okay.
Speaking of pets, we are going to talk about to our friends, the pets and the animal kingdom, as we have the Southfield County Humane Society join us for our Pet of the Week, as we do every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Afterwards, Seth and I will get into some entertainment news. Sharon Osbourne actually was able to stop Ozzy Osbourne from doing something.
Finally. Now that he's in his, 80s?
Yeah, right. Harrison Ford on riding horseback, and we've got some local good stuff for you. And then a little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, the worst movies that made $1 billion.
Oh.
And cars with the fewest issues, the ones with the most.
Oh.
Thought that'd be a
good
fun
information for good everybody out there. Yeah.
We'll get into our schedule, some good stories of the day, and plenty more with you. And of course, your phone calls are always accepted, always appreciated. Use that morning show play at home version you have. It is the Civic Media app.
That's
go
right.
ahead and text us if you'd like, or give us a call, 715-424-2600. I mentioned pets. They're going to be a big topic throughout a theme throughout the show today with our Pet of the Week and all that. And today being National Love Your Pet Day.
Nice.
It means it's time to go ahead and, pay attention to the little guy. No,
finally pay attention to that thing running around your house.
Pets love pets. It's in the name. It's right there for you. In a recent poll on pets, 44% of people say that they consider themselves a dog person, 18% more a cat person, and 25% love both equally.
There you go.
And 14% neither. These are rabbit people. These are people with rabbits.
Exactly. Lizards, maybe.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, fish. 77% of dog owners say that they believe their dogs know them very well. So the dogs know them really good.
Sure.
Another 20% say their dogs know them somewhat well, meaning only 3% think that their animals don't know them at all.
Oh, wow. You're a stranger to me.
Yeah, which is an awkward situation.
It is.
In fact, 20% say that their dogs know them better than their friends and family. the awkwardness of cleaning up after an animal is never lost on me.
Mm.
I've done it a billion times,
sure.
Whether it's at shelters or, you know, personal pets or my parents' pet or whatever. And the idea of them not knowing you, like, that seems even weirder to me. It's already weird. It's already. Has anybody ever caught this where you're cleaning out like a for the cat
litter box or something?
Box,
yeah.
Or you're cleaning up after the dog and they're looking at you, and you can't tell because of their faces, and obviously they don't have the human emotions that we do,
sure.
And everything. What they're thinking? And God, nope. I want to know what they're thinking. It's just a look, and I can't tell if it's like dismissive. I can't tell if it's like, that's right, hurry up, or what it is, or thank you. Maybe it's thank you.
Why are you picking this thing up that belongs on the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it belongs. It's on the ground.
I just got rid of that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
We left it there for a reason. 17% say that their cats know them better than any humans. 61% of cat owners say that they believe their cats know them very well.
Okay.
As for the type of relationships, 26% of dog owners say that they're best friends with their dogs, 23% consider themselves a pet parent, and 16% consider dogs a companion, 13% say they're the owner, and 12% say that they're their friend. 4% consider themselves master, 2% say that they're roommate, and 1% say that their dogs are servants.
Whoa, hey, getting a weird area there.
Yep, yeah, very weird, very weird. And that says a lot more about you than it does the
absolutely
animal.
Absolutely does.
A lot more about you. If you need that kind of confidence boost or ego boost or whatever. That
you probably got some other things you want to work through,
yeah,
folks. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's,
yeah. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I recommend therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I really, if that's the case. And things are different with cats, though. 21% of cat owners say that they're pet parents or companions to their cats.
Companions.
And 15% consider themselves a friend. 14% say with they're an owner. And 12% say that it's their best friend.
Okay. Okay. I was saying, what's the number that think that they're the cat's servant? Now, that one would be an interesting one.
5% are a servant to their cats.
There we go.
Nice.
5%. That's a decent number.
Pretty decent number.
Cats, they know how to work the system, man. They really do.
And cats have one of the greatest marketing teams ever.
They do.
Cats do have a little bit of an attitude. And one of my favorite jokes ever is, we know the Earth's not flat because cats would have knocked everything off it by now.
I love that joke.
But I don't think that cats and dogs are actually that, like, personality-wise, that different. It's so much of what we project on them.
It is, 100%. And, you know, one of the things, you know, talking about how well does your pet know you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, they pick up on all of the things that you do on a routine, right? Because they're there all the time. And animals, that repetition, of course, that's why dogs get to know certain words, right? You know, walk, food, you know, dinner, and or certain sounds, and they know what that means, right?
Yeah.
It's because they keep doing it over and over and over again. That's what it means. If you do a certain thing with your face, they're going to know because they've seen it before, right? And they're like, ah.
Yeah.
That's why they do know you, because they're always there.
I think one of the more interesting rabbit holes I've ever gone down is a dog hole, actually, about the history of dogs and the domestication of them. And the going from wolves to wild packs of dogs to them being able to, okay, well, I can't find food here, but that restaurant, that bar over there, they're leaving food out at the garbage.
Yep.
Well, I can get fresh food if I just give them a look. and dogs evolving to the point of literally being able to read our faces better than some humans can.
Yep.
To the point where we bring them inside. We bring them in, and here we are hundreds of years later or whatever, where, you know, we're having a pet of the week here in a couple of
hours.
Exactly, yeah. It's fascinating.
It is. It's really interesting, yeah.
And I mean, kind of like respect. Like, that's evolution on a whole different level.
There you go, yeah.
Man. That's pretty impressive. And really, whoever it is, whatever kind of pet you have, treat them well today. Give them some love and appreciate them. We brought these animals into our world. I think it's part of our responsibility as being on top of the food chain and having the responsibilities we do.
Well, like you said, we're the ones that domesticated them.
Yeah.
If they can't live on their own, we have to do it because we're the ones that made it that way.
I mean, if you really have an issue with it, you can go back in a time machine and find that very first person that fell for this and brought Fido inside and was like, okay, it's that person's fault. We've been doing it ever since because of them. But appreciate your pets today, everybody. And stick around because we got some good stuff coming up for you in just a little bit. We got the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club. right around the corner. Of course, during that, we grab a qualifier every day, and at the end, the beginning of every month, we're able to give them a gift certificate from our great friends at El Cafe. We love giving things away around here. Love being able to do this kind of stuff. And I grew up in TV and radio and know how this game works. When we're going to give things away, what do? Seth, you wait until the end of the show so you can get the listeners to stick around and until they're there. I know our listeners. You guys are going to be here at 10 o'clock. You guys will be here to the end of the
loyal,
show.
You know?
So I can give away tickets right now if I want.
Right now.
And we're going to do it. We've got Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of the Theater, coming to town today, tonight.
Tonight, they're in town, yes.
7:30 at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We encourage you to maybe get some coffee or something over at the Ridges beforehand, maybe a nice drink or whatever, as long as you got another driver. and then head on over to the Performing Arts Center and enjoy these incredible gentlemen. They are great singers. They're going to be playing some of the hits from Wicked, Miss Saigon, Jersey Boys, Dear Evan Hansen, The Greatest Showman, Les Mis.
You're going to know a lot of those songs. You will know them.
You can get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com if you need more than two, but I got two right here for you.
All right. Burning a hole in our pockets right now.
As long as you can pick them up today, they're all yours. Just give us one of your favorite Broadway shows or favorite musicals or music acts or something like that. Let's go ahead and get ourselves a winner. Good morning. You're on the air, and you got yourself some tickets. You got a favorite Broadway show or a favorite play or anything?
Phantom of the Opera.
There you go. That's a good one. For some people would say that's a good one.
Yeah, that's
not necessarily me, but
it works. Kidding. It works.
He wins.
Yes, yes. Let's make this official. Of course. I just wanted to get the tickets out.
There you go. All right.
Yes. Now it's official. Can I get your first name, sir?
Mike,
thank you so much for listening. We're going to get the rest of your information off air, but we appreciate you, Mike. And you are going to see Bachelors of Broadway tonight over at the Performing Arts Center. Appreciate you.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
On the line,
yes.
Mike. We'll be back with more show coming up on the morning show at WFHR. You heard the boys. It's time to celebrate with our birthday and anniversary club and our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We appreciate you getting us those birthdays and everybody. Get them to us. You can email us, info@WFHR.com. Feel free to call up and join the conversation as well.
Yes, indeed. 715-424-2600.
And visit our friends over at El Cafe. They got some great specials going on today. They're getting ready for the weekend. Keep in mind that they are open late on Fridays. And check out that famous fish fry.
Fish fry.
Enjoy, everybody.
More and more famous fish fry.
Yes. Yeah. Enjoy and go ahead and celebrate with our great friends over at El Cafe. Cafe tonight, today.
Yep.
Appreciate them. Buy local, support local, everybody. And thank you so much for everybody getting us our great list today. We got five possible qualifiers today.
Holy macaroni. All right.
That's awesome. Nice. That's awesome. So we dive right in with a 1-5 from Seth.
Let's see. 5. Yeah. So rarely get to choose a 5.
Yeah,
I got to do it.
Yeah. You kind of have to. That gives us our qualifier so we can dive right in. And first up, we wish a happy birthday to always a good friend of ours around here. Used to join us all the time on Midday Magazine, Cameron Ethers.
Oh, happy birthday, Cameron. Yeah.
Cameron Kutarski is how a lot of our audience may remember her and everything. Cameron was awesome.
She was.
Fantastic. And wishing her and hers well. Sarah Krause celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Sarah's awesome. Worked with her at WRCT, and she's got some great ties to our community and our station here, actually.
Oh, cool.
And appreciate Sarah and wishing her a good birthday.
Awesome.
Happy birthday to Bo Saplina.
Happy birthday, Bo.
Enjoy the day, Bo. Hope it's a good one for you. I wish I had your name. That's a great
Bo
name.
Bo is a good name.
It's
I like
great
it.
Name.
Yeah.
And a happy birthday to Larry Barthels.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. And to our qualifiers celebrating their 54th anniversary, Ross and Linda Lou Miller.
Oh, Ross and Linda Lou. That's great. Man, congratulations to you. 54 years, man, that is so awesome.
Congrats, you two. Hope it's a good one. Enjoy your day.
And since it was weird for him to do it himself, I'm going to do it right now. Also, happy birthday to our own James J. Maloff. Yes, it is his birthday today, everyone. I am not going to make a big deal out of this. I did it once 2 years ago, if you remember.
Yes.
If you recall a certain bumper. So I don't need to do it. I don't need to do it again. Just say, happy birthday, James.
You topped yourself with that one. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, let's take a phone call real quick. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah. Good morning to you. Also, I would like to add another birthday. My son, Scott Matthews.
All right. Scott, and how do you say spell that last name, please?
M-A-T-H-E-W-S.
All right. Happy birthday, Scott.
I just wanted to make sure I got it. Sometimes I see Matthews with two T's, so I wanted to make sure to get it right.
You're good?
We're wishing Scott a happy birthday. Thanks for calling it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you. All right.
Right. Got an extra edition.
Extra name. Cool. I love it.
You know, as a side note, real quick, we hear people, and this is the birthday and anniversary club. I don't mean to get serious about this or anything, but we have people all the time change their names, their first name, their last name. Mm-hmm. We've normalized it. It's very common. Why can't we change our birthday? I want to change to the 30th of February, and then I could just avoid this whole thing.
Oh, come on now.
There's got to be a way. We got to work on that, man. As a society, we have to work on that. I'm worried.
Choose your own birthday.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll try to get that in the books. Somewhere,
shot.
Right?
It was worth a shot. It was worth a try. Thank you for that. Thank you to everybody who has already been the best listeners to radio. You guys have hit me up already quite a bit.
Yes, that's right.
I think we got another caller back here.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh.
Hello. Okay, maybe you're
something. Who knows? Anyway,
but one more time, happy birthdays and anniversaries to everybody. Let's take a look at our celebrity list.
Okay,
Rihanna is 37.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you share a birthday with her. Yeah, not that you haven't told us that 100 times.
No. It has been about a minute since I've mentioned it.
That's
though.
True.
It is the first thing I would say to her if I ever met her, and that would be like to my horror. It would
come right out.
Just a horrible situation for me. Trevor Noah is 41, former Daily Show host.
Cool.
A fantastic stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, one of my favorite pictures of this of our era, or this most recent era and everything, I did not realize we shared a birthday, though. Justin Verlander is 42.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. How did I miss that one?
Yeah.
That's not bad. Fan. Not bad at all.
Huge. That is, throwback. The definition of a throwback pitcher. And a guy, one of the first guys, if I got this right, who really proved that you Tommy John surgery was not the end of your career.
He was at the point where he came back specifically throwing just as hard as when he did before, and that was a big eye opener because a lot of people thought, you lose a little bit, you know, when you have Tommy John. Nope. Yeah. Justin Verlander had no issue with that.
Cindy Crawford is 59 today.
Okay, wow.
Charles Barkley, 62.
I didn't know he's shared a birthday with Charles Barkley. Oh, that's even cooler.
Big fan. Big fan. Mr. Round mound to rebound. and just one of the greater voices in all of sports. All of sports. French Stewart is 61.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, I like French Stewart.
He's very talented, very funny.
He never seems to stop squinting, though. It always looks like he's squinting.
It's weird, yeah.
I don't think he's actually squinting, but it does seem like he is.
Well, especially, his most famous character on Third Rock. Yeah. From the sun, he did. His character was always squinting, so it's hard to look at him not doing it.
Yeah, and interesting, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's birthday was yesterday.
That's
two
true,
30
yeah.
Rock stars having back-to-back birthdays there. Sandy Duncan is 79.
Oh, I didn't, you know what? I didn't even know she was still alive. That's awesome.
That's pretty
cool.
It
makes me happy. I like Sandy Duncan a lot.
And if I'm being honest, there's a couple that I'm very proud of to share birthdays with.
Okay.
These are three of them.
All right.
First, the greatest actor I've ever seen, and I will ever see, probably. Sidney Poitier celebrating a birthday today, born in 1927. Just passed away in 2022.
Wasn't that long ago. Man, one of the all-time greats.
I say similar things to this. You've never seen a bad scene. You've never seen a bad line or anything like that. I say that you've never heard anything bad about this person or something along those lines. All of that stems from Sidney Poitier. He was the first person I thought that about. I dove into, I studied their career. I had no idea we shared a birthday as a kid. I just really enjoyed this man's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the first movie I saw with him, he wasn't the one that stood out to me as mm-hmm. much. But watching him over and over and every year of my life, I watch the Sidney Poitier movie. Pretty much.
Some really good movies in his career. Yeah,
and I'm still learning from him. I'm mm-hmm. still growing and learning from him as an actor, as a performer, mm-hmm. and the definition of class in the face of classlessness.
Yep.
The definition
uber professional. The man was nothing but, you were right, the classiest.
Nobody could deliver a line like Sidney Poitier. Mm-hmm. Nobody in history. We're all trying to come into second place when it comes to the call.
I was going to say, that's one of the most famous movie lines of all time, and it's because of the way he delivered it. That's why.
God, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. The great late Kurt Cobain, born in this day in 1967.
That's right.
One of my favorite singer-songwriters of all time. Mm-hmm. Just incredible artist.
Yep.
And speaking of great singer-songwriters, incredible artist, Walter Becker from Steely Dan.
Is that why you're a Steely Dan fan? Is because, or you just found that out later?
Had
you were
no
a fan
idea.
First. Oh, okay.
I was in my 20s by the time I found out that Sidney Poitier or Walter Becker were, and I'd already been diehard fans of these acts and everything. It's just weird how that works out sometimes.
Yeah.
Again, to everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary out there, we're wishing you a great one. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your day.
Yes.
Have some fun out there. And keep getting us these birthdays and anniversaries, everybody.
Yeah.
We love being able to do this. We've done our homework on this one, and I've actually asked around to other PDs and other people I know in the area. Nobody is doing a birthday or anniversary club anymore. We love that we're still hanging on to
one
because you guys love it.
Yep.
Honestly, wouldn't do it if you didn't love it.
Absolutely. If you didn't send us names like this, we had 5-6 names today. That's awesome. People still want to hear it.
We appreciate
and we want to do
that.
It.
And greatly appreciate our friends over at El Cafe. Go visit them today, everybody. Treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe and enjoy 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards.
Yes, indeed.
We'll take a time out, check in with our sports, our news, and our partner break. We'll be back with more fun as Seth and I are going to come back and we're talking about how much money do you need to quit your job and travel the world.
It's going to make me sad.
Yeah, we're going to help you plan that out or just, daydream.
Yeah, right.
Whatever the case might be, coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. We hope you're having a fantastic Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve. Seth and James hanging out with you.
Mm-hmm. Salvation Army Band.
This is one of those songs you hear the beginning of, and the refrain pops in your head right away.
Immediately,
right away. Got an interesting one here for us, for everybody out there. And I think that this one is going to vary for person to person, of course. But on average, how much money would it take for you to quit your job, drop everything, and travel the world? Someone polled 2,000 Americans, and the average answer was $288,000.
Really?
288 G's.
That's a lot lower than I thought it would be.
Me too.
Wow.
Yeah, me too. I did not
expect
that.
Okay.
18% said that they'd take off for less than 50 grand, while 32% said that they'd need at least a half a mil. And this last group either loves their job or hates to travel. 17% said no amount of money could get them to drop everything and leave.
Mm.
That would be me.
I was going to say,
small percentage. I really am.
Even on your birthday, still not doing it. No.
And I love traveling. I really do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be able to enjoy myself.
You'd be just
yeah. The poll also asked what you do if you suddenly had $1 million travel budget. $1 million travel budget you had to spend.
Gotcha.
And here are the top five answers. Take your family and friends on a dream vacation was number one.
Cool.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Go on a really long road trip.
That would be a really, now that I can get behind, that'd be kind of fun.
Visit as many famous landmarks as you could. I love this one, and I think this one has been in my head since I was a little kid. Visit the seven wonders of the world or other historical sites.
That would be cool.
But imagine being able to check off on your list. Think about this, everybody. Put yourself in these shoes. Mm. Say you are at the pyramids.
Right.
And you've got this literal physical list in your hand, mm-hmm. and you are checking off the last of the seven wonders.
Ooh. Isn't that cool?
Oh,
that
man.
The feeling of that whole thing, right?
I can't imagine what that might feel like. That just seems like such a cool feeling. And start working on your travel bucket list. Wrap the list up.
There you go. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking about, for me, though, I'd be like finding some like really obscure.
Yes. Yes.
One of the most obscure spots in the world. I want to go there. Right?
Absolutely. I go down these rabbit holes all the time of a different, like the hardest place to reach in the world or these things. I'm with you on that.
So, Can I travel to Antarctica? Is that allowed? No. Actually, I don't want to go there. It's too cold.
So, audience, go ahead and feel free to call up or text us your answers to the Civic Media app. Mm. What would you do? I think the most interesting part of this is if you were given $1 million travel budget. I love the idea of it's not just $1 million.
Yep.
You have to spend it on travel.
Right.
You have to spend it on yourself, essentially. Now, you can, like the number one answer here, bring in friends and family, but you're going along, so you are a part of this. And
you
I kind of like that forced part of this what if question.
You can only use it for travel.
Yeah.
Like that, spend a year at Disney World or something like that. Hey, you know, fine. You go, there you go.
I've never left the country, so that's one of my oldest dreams. Mm. But I would love to travel. I want to go back to Italy and travel the path that my nana said our family did from Basel to Venice.
Something cool about that,
I want to go to Russia and Israel and see where my family, my mother's side of the family came from. Egypt and see where my dad's side
and
that'd
the
Italian
be cool.
And all that. I'd love to trace my family's lineage. But what I'd really love to do as well is really see a lot more of America. Like, there's a lot of
great stuff here, too.
I'm
with you.
Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, happy birthday, James.
Thank you. You filled your contractual obligation.
If I had something lined up after I spent all that money, I probably would do it. How far could you really go?
The
$288,000. I mean, you got to think, you know, the way travel has been, you know, you figure if you're going to, like, say, let's say you're going to want to go to France or something like that, it's probably a $5,000 bill just to get there. And then you got to think of all the food you got to, you know, so, yeah, you probably could do it for a year, do the traveling for a year, but after that, what are you going to do?
Hey, just let the audience look behind the curtain here and everything. Kev's a great guy, great friend, and wonderful caller to the station and everything. Hey, man, this is my wheelhouse. Why did you have to make the subject so serious? That's what I do. Don't steal thing.
He's been hanging around you too much. That's what it is.
This is my only wheelhouse, man. This is all No, you're absolutely right. It does make you think of that, though, because I was thinking as well when I first saw this morning, though, that number, like Seth said, that's kind of low.
It seems that way,
Have we lowered the expectations of our dreams?
Maybe we have. I don't know.
Where we're not even thinking about it, we just kind of have already lowered expectations of that. What the dream was or what have you. It used to be kind of just traveling and not even really thinking about money. Now, even in your imagination, even in your what if scenarios, we're doing that. That seems unhealthy. That seems like
it's a little sad.
And it's all of us. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Like there's people, there's comments online that have mentioned, not what I'm saying here specifically, but basically what Kevin is saying there and everything, that even when proposed with $1 million travel budget, that is a what if dream scenario, we still can't help. We still can't. It says something about where we are, I think, and how we need to dream more, I think. or maybe just be paid better. I don't know. You know,
what are those two things?
Little column A, little column B on that one.
But I do have a side note, and I didn't get a chance to ask you this last night. Now, there's only pretty much one marquee basketball game on tonight. It's on TNT.
Yeah.
How many eyes do you think are going to be on that to the Canada-USA hockey match tonight? Even though it doesn't have, you know, you're not playing for gold or... And you're basically playing for pride, and next week you're going to be playing with those guys again on your own team down the, you know, next week. Where do you think the eyes are going to be tonight?
You know, Bucks and Lakers are a big game. It's a big matchup, certainly. Zero. I don't believe that anybody in America or in Canada, so almost in all of North America, is going to be watching any basketball at all today. I don't even know if there's TV shows that are going to do well. I know people that have never watched a hockey game in their life that went out and bought a USA shirt just for tonight.
Wow.
That's two people, but I do know two people at least.
You and your dad, right?
Yes, exactly. No. Yeah, right. That's great. That's great. I really can't think of many people who aren't going to be taking this in that aren't sports fans.
Right.
Exactly. That aren't already into sports. But I do know some people who are just loosely sports fans that are even paying attention to this one. I cannot wait. I got a class tonight, and I'm hoping that it gets canceled. I'll be honest with you. I really am. It should be a great game tonight. And go USA. 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 Have a great one. Safe travels out there, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Good call, and appreciate you. Seth, I didn't get a chance to ask you, really.
Right.
You get that $1 million travel budget. You can go do anything. You got any thoughts on that?
I think, yeah, you know what? I think kind of to Kevin's point there, you know what? I think you should it's a trip around the world. That's what I envision, right? Mm-hmm. But I would say do it without flying.
Oh, wow.
Do it with you, because you can take, you know, there's cross-Atlantic, you know, ships.
Yeah.
You know, because the Queen Elizabeth, the QE2 still goes back and forth. You could have a really nice trip over the Atlantic and then take, you know, trains or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of great public transportation, other countries. You can do that. You could take a whole trip around the world, I think, without flying anywhere. And that would be really cool, I think, for me.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. That sounds like a good one, too. And we'd love to hear from you what you would do. 715-424-2600, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. And remember, you can always text us too, if everybody, if you don't have time to call in or
don't
feel comfortable calling in. We know sometimes that's the case, so go ahead and text us.
Yep.
You can do it through the Civic Media app.
Absolutely.
If you ask someone about their dreams, some people can describe them vividly in detail, and others can't remember a single thing. Now, a subject that I have done, there's not many subjects I've done more homework on than sleep and dreams. I have a story series that I've worked on that ties into those.
Oh, interesting.
And my obvious lack of being able to hang out with the Sandman very often.
Not sleeping, and he's writing about sleep. Interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, you write what you know or you don't know,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
One of the more interesting things that I think that I don't know if it's common knowledge or not. I apologize if it is. But we actually, in your average night of sleep, say you get your 6 to 8 hours or what have you, you have thousands of dreams.
Right.
Thousands of them. Maybe hundreds, but at least hundreds of them.
A lot of dreams,
them and everything. Yeah. And the ones that you remember tend to be either the ones that happened at late in your dream or late in your sleep.
Right.
Or late in your REM sleep.
Right.
It can go either way. But you have tons of them. And one of the things that they cannot figure out is why some people remember their dreams more than others and some of that.
That's really fascinating, yeah.
We don't have the science on that yet, which is just kind of cool. Like the mysteries that we still have then, like,
there are,
you know,
still mysteries. Plenty of them out there, everybody.
Well, according to a comprehensive new study, three factors can contribute to whether someone remembers their dreams.
Okay.
A person's general attitude towards dreaming. People who view dreams as meaningful were more likely to remember them.
Oh. So they basically willed themselves to remember them. Interesting. Wow.
No science to that or anything. Huh. It's just it's overwhelming, the numbers of people that remember their dreams.
Boy, does that just deepen the mystery?
Yes.
I mean, about the whole, I mean, the mind in general, the whole mind complexity issue, I mean, but
it's like
still.
It's like an episode of Lost. Now I got more questions.
Exactly.
Like, where did the polar bear come from?
Yeah.
Their typical sleep patterns. That was a deep cut. Their typical sleep patterns. This is the most specific one. So their typical sleep patterns. People who typically have longer periods of lighter sleep with less deep sleep were better at remembering their dreams.
That makes total sense to me, because the only times basically that I remember my dreams anymore, and maybe when I was a kid it was different, is like the morning dreams. So, you know, like you wake up and you go back to sleep, and then, you know, then you have dreams. Those are the ones I remember. And that's basically it anymore.
I think
I'm
the same.
Overnight ones, I do not remember at all.
I will also say real quick, I don't know about anybody else out there. I have an imagination that doesn't run out of ammunition.
Right.
I have a wonderful imagination. I'm very thankful for. For some reason, it's asleep as well. Me and my imagination take a sleep. My dreams, I've had a couple of interesting ones, but for the most part, I would say 98 to 97% of my dreams, boring. Just boring. Nothing going on. I'm sitting there reading a book. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm like, they're just boring.
It's like your brain is like, all right, I finally got a chance to sit down and kick my feet up.
I would love to
sit with a cup of tea and a book, you know?
Yeah. I'm a classic overthinker. I am a classic, and I don't know if it's that or what it is.
Funny.
But I think my brain literally is like, I'm checking out. I'm clocking out.
Right. And then we've got, you know, and people who have like really bizarre dreams. My sister, mm-hmm. who's had some really strange ones over the years that she's described to me. And you got people, you know, I think Melissa once mentioned she dreams in black and white.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me. That the fact that, it, first of all, that you could remember that you dream in black and white. And that because I know all my dreams are, as far as I can tell, in color. So it's really interesting, fascinating subject.
Mine are in sepia tone. That's weird.
Sepia tone. It's like an old movie. He's got a piano roll in the background.
It's an old time piano. Yeah. I have theme music for my dreams. They're typical sleep patterns. This is the most scientific one. People who typically have longer periods of lighter sleep with less deep sleep were better at remembering their dreams.
Right, right.
So we got over that. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Their tendency to let their mind wander during waking hours. Oh. The participants who regularly caught themselves daydreaming or engaging in spontaneous thoughts during the day were more likely to remember their dreams even overnight.
Wow.
So, huh.
That's it. Well, that's got to be hard to quantify. Daydreamers, yeah, to a certain extent. But, I mean, doesn't everyone have that, you know, where you all of a sudden you have these weird unbidden thoughts that pop into your head? That sounds pretty common to me. Well, maybe I don't know, but
I can't prove this, but you know, things you just you feel are right, but you can't prove.
Right.
I don't think that there's been a human being in history that hasn't had those thoughts.
Right, exactly.
Just
weird
things
that pop in your brain. Yeah.
They also found younger people were better at remembering dream specifics, while older people who more frequently reported white dreams, where you wake up knowing you definitely had a dream, but you can't remember it.
I have those more often than not, where I know I dreamed of something, but I can't remember a lick of what it was.
That could be a little jarring.
It is a little jarring, yeah. But I do know, I think, and for me too, when I was a kid, I seemed to remember my dreams a lot better when I was a kid than I do now, for sure.
And dream recall fluctuates seasonally. Mm. People remember fewer dreams during winter months compared to spring and fall. There's still a lot of mystery surrounding dreams. This is just another step in trying to understand how the brain processes and stores memories during sleep. So it's collecting data, really.
Right. It's one of those fascinatingly, you know, almost universally shared thing that humans have, right?
Yeah.
There's certain things, of course, that we all share as humans. And that's one that's so ethereal, you know, so ephemeral that you can't really grasp onto it. But yet it's something we all experience. It's something, to me, that's the fascinating thing about it.
Yeah. One thing I did want to touch on with this story, as they mentioned it, how this can change with the seasons and everything. I've had some people close to me recently who have been struggling a little bit with depression, but have never really struggled with it, or one person that has, but another person who has never really dealt with this to the point where they're in their 40s and they were literally unsure what's going on.
Yes.
I don't understand why I'm sad. I don't have any reason to be sad. Yep. I'm my life is good.
That all is these depression.
Things. And seasonal depression disorder is a real thing. It may not seem like it. I think that nowadays we kind of just blow off a lot of these things as, oh, that's just new-handed stuff, or they're just labeling things or whatever. It's a real thing. And whether it's affecting your sleep or your mood or whatever it might be, as we're getting closer to spring, I brought up the 29 days for a reason.
Right, right.
Hang in there. And there are different things you can do. A light therapy is a great one. Actually getting vitamin D in your system with supplements and some of that can be really helpful.
Oh,
too.
The sun is so important. And I think, you know, what you were saying, James, about, you know, we're not making stuff when people do this, we're not making stuff up. We're just labeling things that are there that we didn't understand in the past. So seasonal affective disorder. Well, what is that? Well, if you don't get enough sunlight, guess what? It's going to make you sadder.
Yeah.
And that's what it means. That's all it is.
We're all, and this has some cool stuff too to it. So just a bit of a, you know, thing here. Superman gets his power from the sun. We are all Superman. We get a lot of our power and a lot of our energy from the sun.
Absolutely.
And when we don't have as much of it, we don't need kryptonite to slow us down. It doesn't take much to.
Yep.
Keeping these things in mind hopefully can help you balance this, work your way through it, find the different, it's a case-by-case basis, so the different things are going to make you happy that others were. But
yes,
certainly being aware of it, I think, is one of the best, biggest first steps you can make in your life. Just being aware of it, just acknowledging it, and talking about it, whether it's with a loved one or even to your own self.
Yep.
And hang in there, because it does get better. There are better days.
I got an even better one. You know, 28 days till spring, that's great. 34 days till opening day.
Oh, see, now that's what we really
even
need
better. There. That'll there make you go. Happy.
There yeah. Let's play ball. Yeah. Even shorter to Raptor baseball, too.
Yeah, that's
Raptor
right.
Baseball come right even around closer. The corner. Good stuff. We got the River Kings this weekend in town to keep us company. That's going to be fun. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. Mm-hmm. We'll be back to wrap up the first hour coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
They call me Dr. Worm. Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr.
Little They Might Be Giants to play us in.
Mm-hmm.
Got Seth and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour the way we like to on a Thursday with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Yes, indeed.
I want to remind everybody that that segment is a great way to promote your business. You cannot buy that kind of PR.
Nope.
We would love to have some sponsors for our Pet of the Week in all of our shows. Kitchen's open. We've got plenty of room for you, Seth. Face the Music. We could use sponsors for all of these. It's a great way to attach your... You hear how we talk about our sponsors, how our partners.
Yeah, constantly.
Any chance we get, we mention Quality Plus Printing or Family Natural Foods or El Cafe, Culver's. And did I just say all this just so I could ramble and mention every single one of those businesses extra bit? Yeah, maybe. But that's
nobody
marketing.
Knows.
That's marketing, baby, and that's what we do around here. Give our front desk a call, 424-1300. Pam will put you in touch with Ashley and put you into make you a part of the team. Thought this was an interesting one, especially as we're getting ready for our Pet of the Week, and it is National Love Your Pet Day.
Okay.
A poll looked at the top ways we show our pets some love.
All right.
Number one, playtime. 14% said playing with their pet is the top way to show them love.
Makes sense.
I make the joke that pets love pets, but it's a reminder of acknowledging your pet, petting them, playing with them.
Attention, man.
That's all they're asking for. Like,
just a
obviously
little attention.
Feed them, let them out and everything.
Well, of course.
But outside of the basics, really, it's not hard to be a pet owner necessarily.
Right, right.
They're not asking for a lot.
No, they're not.
I say that, and then there are people out there getting ready to take a vacation trying to figure out what to do with their pet.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
What do I know? There can be some difficulty.
Yeah.
Giving them treats and gifts. 13% say that one.
Okay. That's easy to do.
That is good. That is that isn't a bad thing. But again, playtime, number one. Cuddling them, 12% do that.
Okay.
Those
nice.
12% are not cat owners.
I'm joking. Nor are they giant dog. You know,
yeah.
Cuddling your mastiff is kind of hard. You know,
can
they can't
difficult.
Get on your lap. They just kind of crush you.
I've had that happen. I joke that about cats, but it's great. I'm a dog guy. I really love dogs. I don't really have anything against cats. I've had a cat. Actually, my first pet that I owned was a cat, a 6-toed cat named Hemingway. But when a cat chooses to cuddle with you, it just seems to mean a little more because they just because of the stigma and all these things to it and everything. They really mean it.
The cat I grew up with, okay, she would be good. You know, she'd jump on people's laps and stuff like that. But when she was really, you know, in that contented mode, you know, sitting there purring away, she would drool.
Oh, wow.
So she would have the riblets going down her cheeks and on her whiskers and stuff like that. It's like, that's a weird cat, man. Yeah, what is that?
I've heard of plenty of dogs, especially like bulldogs and everything. Oh, interesting.
Very fascinating.
Cuddling them, 12% will do that. And then 10% will tell them, I love you.
Okay.
That's completely for us.
100%.
And the science tells us this, that animals do pick up on tone. So that
probably
that
more than obviously than words. Yeah, because you tend to say things the same way with them. Yeah,
but there are to your what you were saying earlier and everything. There are some key words that animals have learned, and you know maybe they have learned love.
Yep.
Maybe we say it a lot.
Combination of sounds and tones. Yep, exactly.
Just hanging out with them. 10% like watching TV together and stuff. Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Just having them sit there, you know, petting them while you're watching.
Love it.
There you go.
That's a great pastime. Next, it's a three-way tie between carrying on a conversation with them, giving them kisses, and letting them sleep in your bed.
Now, wait a minute. Carrying on a conversation with them?
Yeah.
That's all one-sided, okay? They're not. You may think they're... No, they're not. They're just listening. It's your voice, you know? They're paying attention to your voice. So.
Now, interestingly, though, so I do this with my fur brother, Sam, a lot. And I've done this with where I'm practicing a monologue or I'm just talking like a scene out with him or or anything. Like, I actually have found it to be really... I joke about it all the time, but it actually is kind of helpful. hopeful. It actually is a little bit. And I do think that Sam, I don't think he understands what's going on, but he knows the routine.
Exactly.
I take him out for his last time at night, comes in, gets his special treats he really likes that just happen to be like really good for his teeth, so that worked out.
That's nice.
Then after that, he gets some energy out fighting his little lamb chop toy. And then he comes into my room. Like, I'll go in there just to leave him be and let him play and stuff. And I'll come in there. And then he always comes in and sits right down in front of me like, okay, go ahead. Entertain me, Mr. Human. It's hilarious.
It's routine, man. They animals thrive on it. Yep. Animals and kids thrive on routine.
Another way is taking them to places like parks and beaches. Got 5% of the vote.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. Parks are great, obviously. They're great places for animals. Beaches, though, man, all that sand that gets in their fur. Ooh, no, that doesn't sound pleasant for the animal, I mean. You know, getting all that.
You know, some days all you're looking for in life is to get home and sit down on your bed, your couch, wherever it is, and just flip through channels.
Sure.
You don't really want to watch anything. You just want to flip through channels. Just some mindless TV or mindless reading or anything that kind of just helps you tune out of life. This isn't that different for animals.
As far as
animals, it's the same thing with smells. Dogs, I'm thinking of in particular.
Right.
A dog wants to flip through the channels. You take them to a park. You take them somewhere new where it's not just the backyard that they've already smelled
new,
all those
amazing
smells. You are making their day. Yeah. They are going to brag about that to all their friends. The whole neighborhood's going to hear about it.
Right.
It's a great treat to your animal. Just taking them somewhere different. It doesn't have to be some... To you, it may seem like, well, this is just the park, or this is just where I go all the time. For them, it might as well be Vegas. It might as well be, you know, the
flashy lights,
Hall or something.
Downtown New York, right in Manhattan,
And 2% said the top way that they show their pets some love is by dressing them up in costumes.
No, wait, seriously? That's what it says?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if that was a bit or not.
I really was hoping it was, and it is not.
Oh, no. And that's weird, and oh, my gosh.
All of this has a little bit of selfish behavior to it just because of what Seth said and stuff. We don't know necessarily what they think and feel.
We don't.
That one I am 100% confident on. That is all about you. I genuinely don't know that there's an animal that's ever loved a costume. Some like sweaters. Some like
to stay warm.
Like dogs like
they understand
those things
that.
And stuff.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a dog that has ever loved being put into a hot dog costume.
That's got to be too weird. I mean, because they're not bred for it. They don't need it. They're good.
Plus, we need new costumes. We need new costumes for animals.
Something more interesting.
We'll be back coming up on The Morning Show.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And